Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warrior Man Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warrior Man. You are listening to this podcast in various ways. One is either you're at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are at the most efficient way, enter Warrior Man Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine. So we are going to get right to it. We are going to, first and foremost, and above all, get right into the big event going on tomorrow night. We're going to do the Glory Heavyweight Grand Prix. Kickboxing 8-man tournaments has a big time history in kickboxing and what made it great. So when kickboxing was killing it in the 90s, your Peter Arts, your Ernesto Hoos, your Jerome LeBanners, these athletes, these stars, these fighters, they were all made through the endurance and what's asked of you when you enter an 8-man tournament. 8-man tournament, 3 fights in one night. And of course, Max had their success right afterwards on the back of the 8-man tournament that the heavyweights had done. So in the history of our sport, that goes really, really, that's very important. It holds a place. Now, I know sometimes you get in, I remember I was working at Glory, Marshall, the guy who was running it for a little bit, he would always say, the problem with tournaments is you don't always get the best winner. The best chance to get the best guy, the best winner is to have an event where you have the same athletes come out and, every year you see the same names at the top despite what's going on in the kickboxing world. And those names that are at the top, those athletes that are at the top, if over a 10-year span, if you won 2 or 3 K1, World Grand Prix tournaments, you've proven yourself to not only be the best skilled-wise, but you've proven yourself to have the endurance and the you've worked through the attrition that it takes to be a 8-man tournament champion. So all of that lure comes with it. For us, it's not just about being the best. And I think that's why kickboxing was so successful when it was. It's because it was like you won the season. So we had a model that was very similar to your sporting model. We had a full year season that led to a championship at the very end of it. So then we look back on that era and we didn't look back at it in terms of there was one guy who had the title for like 5, 6, 8 years. We had the tournament. It's Jerome LeBanner should have won the K1 World Grand Prix. He was one round away. He was less than a round away. Gets kicked in the elbow, loses. The attrition got to him after having an exceptional year. Ernesto Hoos gets that perfectly timed kick. He's able to finish it. He gets his 4th K1 World Grand Prix. We look back on it and we see him as a special and unique talent. But we also see him as he was physically able to endure what the tournament asked of him. And Ernesto Hoos was a guy who, when he did his first K1 World Grand Prix, when he had the KO loss, this is a guy who, as strong and as physically imposing as he was later in his career, I think he weighed 190 pounds the first time he did a tournament. I think when he did his last tournament, I think he weighed 240. He literally grew up with the tournament. So we look back on it and we go, hey, these guys were special because of this. And that's something that we've been trying to recreate for a while. K1, of course, is returning to their heavyweight kickboxing model this year. And then we've got Glory getting theirs done in March early in the year, and that's going to make it a fun year. I'm excited to see. It's a good tournament. It's got really good talent. It doesn't have the feel of the full year lead up. And then, of course, with Rico, who's been, single champion, winning the single fights for the last 10 years, it doesn't feel like someone is better than him going into it. They have to pull off upset. They've got to prove something because this guy's been champion for 10 years. But man, when you go into a tournament bracket, normally you're trying to say, hey, these guys got this skill set. This is going to be their year to get through the 8 and win. You knew they were accomplishing something great. And I think that that's what they're trying to accomplish here. We're trying to bring back accomplishing something great. And this tournament is a very, very solid kickboxing field. No matter how you feel about who should be champion or who should be, in the tournament field, it doesn't have as wide a selection field as it was before. So I'll give you an example. At one period of time, you had Jerome LeBanner from France. You had two guys from Holland and Hoost and Arts. You've had guys from, South Africa, of course. There was someone outside of Mike Bernardo who I was trying to remember. There was another bigger guy. But then, of course, you had Andy Hook from Switzerland. Like, you had different parts of the world represented. Not to mention, you know, Mike McDonald, even though he didn't make it to the eight, he's from Canada. You look back at that field and you look at the single fight events that they put on, you felt like this was a tested tournament who's beaten the best in their area. And that was kind of what made it so special. You don't have that this time, but you do have really good kickboxers who are in a kind of smaller base there in Europe, and you should see some of the best of the best. Now, of course, it's always going to be disappointing when you don't have, you know, Asia represented and there's no strong Russian, you know, athlete to be in the tournament field. But what they do have is very good. They have a very, very, very good field of very good fighters. And they should put on an excellent show. So I'll go ahead and get into the tournament breakdown. Not to mention, we got some title fights just because, you know, and I'm excited to see what comes from them. So here we'll go to the top. First of all, Levi Rickards is going to take on Uku Jurgendal. Jurgendal, of course, is a hitter. He's a guy who, if he gets in that position, if you let him let those hands go, he's going to put you on your butt. And whether he wins by stoppage or he gets a knockdown to get up on the scorecards, this is a guy that's going to be in your face, who's very crafty, who's very skilled. I mean, he's got some glory experience, of course, but he got a decent amount of fights on the, you know, the lower circuit. Well, enough of a volume of the lower circuit for me to say that his testing himself in this field is very, very good. And I like the matchup between Levi Rickards. And the reason why I like it is Rickards is your classic combo to low kick guy. You know, he's got low kick stoppages. I remember he really, really impressed me when Melvin Menhoff had that short-lived kickboxing organization. Those were days where I really looked at him and I go, hey, this kid's got something, you know. And again, he fought at a little bit lighter weight. Here he is at a heavyweight, and now he brings that talent to it. You know, he brings that kickboxing flow to the bigger weight classes. So I'm definitely excited to see what happens in this one, but it should be good style of matchups between the guy who's got the combos and the low kick chops and the movement, and then you've got the Jurgendal who's gonna let them things go and try to put somebody on their butt. Next, we have Kevin Tariq Cookie Osaro. Tariq Osaro is the Nigerian fighter who had a special year last year. Just the stars aligned. You know, he was able to win an interim title. You know, interim title. He gets the opportunity to go against, you know, the reigning king, Rico Verhoeven, who I remember when Rico posted, this is the first time he'd ever actually really been hurt in his life. And he had the ACL and he was gone for a while. So when they had the opportunity, a lot of people got behind Tariq. Shout out to Kamaru Usman, who you guys know, who I work with here in the MMA world. He gave him some love when he saw another Nigerian having success. It was a really cool experience. Like, it really, really was cool for him to get that victory and to have so many people get behind him, you know, because Plazabot is dope. Like, that was a big time win for him. It just didn't end the way we had hoped. When he got his title opportunity, it really, really, really did hurt him. Like, it's when he got that title opportunity, it hurt his brand because he didn't let it go. Like, for whatever reason, whether it came in with an injury or confidence, he just didn't let the hands go. If he scored all the offense that he threw in the fight, I still think he would have lost the fight because he didn't throw enough to win the fight. Rico getting his single shots going, got a 1-2 here and there, got a sneaky high kick. He was able to get going with some small shots, but even he wasn't able to get full into his rhythm because Osaro didn't offer anything in terms of offensive output to open up the opportunity for counters, open up the opportunity for, strong exchanges. He just played conservative. He just played on the move, hands up. He never let it go. Here's another opportunity for him to erase that because he's a talented guy. And if he catches you, you're caught. He could punch. He's a very, very strong fighter. And I really do hope that we get the best of him. But it can't be stressed enough. He didn't let his offense go to give him a chance last time. He is going to have to do that to get through this tournament. He's got the skill set. He just can't leave it at home. Meanwhile, I've been practicing the name. I know I'm going to say it wrong anyways. Rajab Zida. He really showed us something where, when he had that, I'm forgetting the guy who he knocked out. When he had the opportunity and he fought a very, very talented Luis Tavares, I remember the fight. It was a combo that came where, and I say it to my students all the time, even if you have your glove touching your head, if somebody throws a head kick, it could still rock your head. And normally you want to try to block head kicks with your arms away from your head, but just the speed in which it came and the offense, that came with it, if you're going to pick a dark horse, he's got the talent and the athleticism to really do something. Clearly, he doesn't have the resume that the others have. And, he fought smaller moving up, which is going to help him as far as the speed goes. But I really think that he is a good enough athlete to have a really good run in this tournament. So if you guys, I'm not a betting person. If you were a gambler and you were like, hey, is there a guy who has a chance to upset it all and really go from unknown to known to everyone? I think it's Rajab Zida is a talented guy who's not just good, but he has athleticism, and that matters. If you've got good skill set, but the other person is more fast twitch, or they're, a little bit quicker, a little bit more coordinated to get to their offense, they've got a really good shot at beating you no matter what your skill set. And I think he brings that to the table. I think he might be the best athlete here outside of Rico. So I'm very curious to see how this goes. So Osaro better be in his A game, because if he is conservative at all, Rajab Zida is going to get him. He's going to score some offense, and he's going to get a decision, if not put him on his butt. So you got to be ready. Next fight, we have Benjamin Akbui against Nabil Kashab. If I remember correctly, I believe Kashab is the youngest in the tournament, if I'm remembering correctly. He's got, I've seen him fight a few times. He's 23. He is the youngest. Okay. So I've seen him fight a few times. He's a very talented guy. Akbui, I just don't know which guy's going to show up. Because kickboxing is skill-wise, I would argue that Akbui is only second to Rico in terms of being able to find his offense, being able to find his low kicks. I've watched him live when I was working at Glory Kickboxing. I got to watch him, with my eyes several times because he had a U.S. passport, so they used him on a lot of the USA cards. He is as talented as it gets. He sparred with Rico, which means not only has he gotten beaten up, he's gotten some rounds in. He's gotten some victories in some of those rounds. So if he could get to the right position, I think that he is a guy to look out for because he really is that talented. But man, just there are days where just the offense doesn't come the way it normally does. Not as confident in the jab. Doesn't get a combo to low kick game working. Just kind of moves around and looks for single strikes or single head kicks. And it's just, there are just times where I'm wondering, hey, this time you don't seem confident getting to your offense. He's going to have to be his best version, because you get a young guy like Kashab who's trying to make a name for himself. This would be, this tournament field would go a long way for building a young star. And don't forget, tournaments, another thing that's cool about these eight-man tournaments is you could be made a star without ever winning a K-1 World Grand Prix tournament or without ever winning a Glory Kickboxing tournament. This tournament, when Glory did a tournament before, I think they did a 16, and that was done by Semi Schultz. That's the last time I remember them doing this kind of number. And the first two fights were two-minute rounds, and then I think the last two were three-minute rounds, if I'm remembering correctly. In that tournament field, Semi Schultz won it, and, Semi was still, the best at the time. Just too big, too long. You could have success with him, but he was a dangerous guy. All of his limbs dangerous. He was a true all-time great in this sport. That tournament did a good job of, it's the last big one for him before he rode off into the sunset. But that tournament was also aided by the fact that it had a lot of guys who were in the K-1 tournaments before, and some of them who were not K-1 World Grand Prix champions. So that Glory tournament, it had Remy Bonjasky, who was a tournament champion, but then it also had Gokhan Saki, who was not a tournament champion. And I think people need to understand how important it is that Tyrone Spong, superstar, didn't get the K1 heavyweight champion. The 8-man championship. We also had, Errol Zimmerman, if I remember correctly. I think that he was another guy who's from that tournament field that never won a K1 World Grand Prix championship, but he made himself a star with his walkout, with his violent style. Daniel Guida was in that tournament, and he didn't win a K1 World Grand Prix champion. Stars could be made by the tournament, even if you weren't champion of the tournament. Like this, it was something that the field allowed you to do. Mike Bernardo, superstar, never won a tournament. Stefan Leko, never won a tournament. Alexa Ignashoff, Badr Hari, all guys who didn't win a tournament. But being in the tournaments, getting there, showcasing their talent, it's just different. And this tournament gives them an opportunity to really showcase and really make a name for yourself, even if you don't get it. And I look at a guy, a young guy like Nabil Kashab, and I the way he gets in the pocket, he throws that heat, shorter. Aesthetically, you look at him and you're like, okay, this guy can't fight. But then the next thing you know, he's letting them hands go. You've got that volume. He's just a fun person to watch. And I think that he can make a name for himself if he performs in a certain way. He is a replacement, I believe, for Nadine Mahadine. But like, Kashab is going to bring it. Like, I'm excited to see this guy, talented, young, but he's got if he gets the strong version of Adegbuyi, could be a tough night for him. But we'll see who shows up on both ends. Last tournament fight is Rico Verheerven against Sofyan Leadoni. Sofyan is skilled. He is, southpaw. He's got good talent. Of course, he's got a fight on his hand if he's going against Rico. The whole thing is, if he's going to have success, he needs to treat this like Masato Bukau too. The whole camp's got to be like, no matter what, I'm getting past Rico Verheerven. I'm treating this as a one-fight deal. I'm getting past it. Now, sometimes that turns into winning a tournament. So I'll give you an example. Remy Bonjasky went into his second K1 World Grand Prix tournament thinking, I just want to beat Ernesto Hoose. The brackets had put them against each other. He said, that's my goal. I just want to beat Ernesto Hoose. They went to an extra round. It took from him, but he was able to get the victory. Then he fooled around. If I remember correctly, he almost lost the Botha, the boxer. And then all of a sudden he lands a head kick with like 1 minute left in the, I think it was like 15 seconds left in the third round, after really just playing the guard because he was so tired from the fight before, gets the head kick, gets him into the next round. And then as he gets into the next round, he ends up fighting Masato for the second time. They went to two extras, so he fought more than anybody ever to win a K1 World Grand Prix Championship. Shout out to the great Remy Bonjasky. But it started off with him with a game plan. I just want to beat Hoost. But Kao, when he was doing his thing and one of the best on the planet, Masato, after that, really one-sided beatdown the first time they met, they go in there. He said, I have one goal. I want to beat Bukau. And he didn't end up winning the K1 Max that year. But he was able to beat the guy who he needed to beat. He was able to beat the lure, the legend. He was able to beat Bukau, the guy who defeated him so soundly a couple years before. Didn't win the tournament, but he came in there with the mentality of, I got to beat this guy. That is what Leadoni has to do this time. He has to go in with, the tournament will take care of itself. I need to dethrone the great Rico Verheerven. And it's happened before. Rico's lost in these, over this 10-year period of time, outside of the glory banner, but it's happened. So against Grzychuk, it's happened. So he's got to have game plan just to beat Rico. Rico, this is just about cementing your legacy. You already are one of the all-time greats. You are top five all-time in the heavyweight division on most people's list. This is just cementing an already great legacy. He goes out there, he wins this kickboxing tournament. He's already made enough money in kickboxing. He's done extremely well for himself. Glory's paid him extremely well. He's made a lot of money outside of it. If you're looking at acting and you're looking at, you are looking at the different levels in which you can have you can make revenue, sponsorships. He really made the most of his brand. if he wins this, this is just adding on to already being a great fighter. So definitely excited. That's the tournament field. Should be a fun one. I'll go ahead and mention a couple of the single fights we got going on here. Shahad Kamenek is going against Michelle Blad. Excuse me. This one that I didn't practice. Bladzwitz. Michael McCall is talented, but Kapanek's got several victories in glory. He's a tough out. I think he's going to really put on a good show. Really mad at myself for not practicing McCall's name. But, you know, I expect a good outing for the Polish fighter. Should be a good one there. Also, we have Ilias Amache is going against Ivan Galaz. Amache's dope. Galaz is talented, and Galaz really is the best kickboxer in South America. Like, anytime they put a tournament together, when he was fighting in Brazil, when Glory brought him in the first time, and I was on the staff when he had his debut, he's one of the matches that I was able to match. Short notice, I was able to put together a fight with him on a Glory New York card. He shows the talent, and when he goes up to light heavyweight, he shows the talent. He is so dominant when he's not in the Glory brand, but for whatever reason, he struggles when he fights in Glory. He has some wins here and there, but he's lost some of the step-up opportunities, but he's for sure skilled, no question about it. Next, we've got a couple of title fights. Denegi Abenya is going against Tariq Kababes. Kababes is talented. He's all entertainment. Abenya's just on a different level right now. He is very skilled, not just skilled, but he is skilled and he brings a exciting form of offense. He's had to do some learning. He's lost to the guys who were champion before, lost to Alex Pereira, had the stoppage loss there, Vakadov, that's lost there. So on his way, and I've said it on this podcast many times before, part of kickboxing, part of what makes kickboxing special is at some period of time, a person who is dominant in the smaller regions is going to make a step up. And that means they're going to fight someone real early in their career who's been a veteran, has been a champion for a long time. The number one example I usually bring up is Stefan Leko. Stefan Leko always talks about after he beat Badahari with a spinning back kick in their first fight, he said, "When I was 20 years old, I fought Ernesto Hoost. Here he is, 19 years old, 20 years old, and he's fighting me." That's how this game works. You know, like, there's always going to be another young person around the corner. A young Alexei Egdashov gets a victory over Peter Arts. Like, it's part of this game. So you got to get out there. You got to test yourself for these sort of things to happen. And that's what happened to Abenya. You know, he played well, but then he gets the opportunity and really, really showed up. And now he's the champion. Clearly, you revisit, you know, he won the title off of Andrei, and they, for whatever reason, didn't do the rematch. But, like, he's the man. He's doing well. Tariq Kababes, this should be a good one. I'm excited to see how much he prepared to win against such an elite guy. This should be a very, very fantastic contest. And the last fight is Tijani Bastadi as he goes against Enrico Kale. Shout out to Enrico Kale, who's been doing it. Enrico Kale, I mean, it does. Most people don't count it, but he's got technically a K1 Max championship. The championship was against Bukau. Bukau was told before the fight that if he didn't win by KO, that he was going to lose a decision. It was one of the weirdest moments in kickboxing. So Bukau, who, you know, because he was going through the stuff with his manager at the time, and that's why he had to do a bunch of exhibitions because he didn't want his money to go to his promoter, and his promoter owned all the rights and all the money. Like, you know, when you sign a contract when you're 19 years old, it's there's reasons why there's laws against that in the West. But, you know, Bukau had to deal with all that. So he gets this message. He goes out there. Arguably, I would say most people feel like he won in the three-round distance. Not that Kale didn't do some good stuff, but that most people feel like Bukau won. After that, Bukau knew they were going to go to an extra round, and he just leaves the arena and cheers, and he said, "Hey, I want the crowd to determine who the winner was." After that, they had to call the fight and give it to Enrico Kale. Outside of that, though, Enrico Kale fought everywhere. Fought everywhere. Fought Max. Fought Glory. Fought in one championship. Like, this southpaw is, and not to mention the numerous fights that he had in Thailand, he is a hardened, strong kickboxer who is amazing. Like, he is amazing that he's been in this game for this long. Dejani Bastadi, one of the young stars in the sports, heading into his, you know, his mid-20s. He's very, very good. He's very, very good. I'm excited to see what the future holds for him. And I'm excited to see this back and forth because they're elite talent. Bastadi, of course, with the length and the age, that should be, you know, could be an issue in the fight. Keel could have some trouble with it. But Keel, with that slickness of the left body kick and the boxing, this is what you want. The best of the best fighting each other. So that's my preview. I might do an after the bell, so you guys might be getting back-to-back episodes. But man, I'm excited to see this tournament. This is a high-level kickboxing card in a month that's also given us the first round of the K1 Max. We're doing well. Kickboxing is doing extremely well right now. So everybody make sure, if you get the opportunity to consume this content, get around it. And I'm excited to see what comes moving forward. God bless and thank you all for your time. Hopefully we'll be talking again tomorrow. Peace.